This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wendy's Big Show on The Fan, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt alongside Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back. Going to be joined, taking an eye on the enemy, by Nick Wilson of Sports Radio WFNZ out in North Carolina. Covers the Carolina Panthers for our intercom station over in Charlotte. He'll join us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Nick Wilson WFNZ. He joins us now on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Nick, appreciate the time, man. First off, want to ask you just how good and how dangerous is number 22 that's coming in here to Green Bay and Christian McCaffrey?
You know, I got to say, guys, first off, thanks for having me. Christian McCaffrey is ridiculous. And you know, we knew he was good last year. Yeah, the rookie year, we just saw glimpses of stuff, but he never really put it together. Last year, man, you thought, all right, well, that's the best he can do. You know, we always kind of had the debate, can he be a top 10 running back? Can he crack into the top five? Lo and behold, this year, he is, I would say, a little bit more physical this year. He's always been able to run between the tackles, even though people have doubted that forever because he's a white running back. But he's really added. He added like 10 pounds of muscle this offseason. And I mean, he is hitting the hole with authority this year. And it's been maybe the most fun running back season I've ever seen.
Well, it feels like they're doing a lot of different ways of trying to get him football on the outside. They screens, they split him out. I mean, they do a lot of things different to try to give him the ball and try to isolate him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny because North Turner has this reputation of some Panthers fans feel he's too vanilla. And some of that's the way they've used Christian this year. Last year, you know, Christian was probably more lethal in the pass game than he was in the ground game because you had Cam there to run those extra eight times a game. You look this year, he's really focused in a lot on the run game, and especially over the last couple of weeks, he's still out there. You know, they haven't really put him in slot a whole lot. They tend to keep him out of the backfield, but they find ways to utilize him almost sometimes to the detriment of guys like Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore, who in and of themselves are pretty good and emerging weapons for this team.
Talking with Nick Wilson of WFNZ out in North Carolina, Charlotte, covering the Carolina Panthers before the Panthers come up here and play in the cold weather against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. You mentioned Cam Newton right there, Nick. What is the feeling with him going on IR? Obviously, Kyle Allen's been successful, just the one loss to that team in San Francisco, but they've beaten everybody so far this year. What's the feeling like that with the impending $19 million that he's owed next year in a roster bonus?
Something we've talked about a lot on the show, guys, is how people want to jump to the end of the rainbow on this, and they want to anoint Cam as done, and they want to anoint Kyle Allen as, you know, as Simba, as he's the next great king here. And the truth is, Kyle Allen has been really nice in these six games. I think he's surpassed expectations. He still has a ways to go. The Tennessee game, you started to see him make these throws down the field that he's going to need to make, and he's going to have to attempt more of if he's going to take this job. I would say right now, because people say, well, why would you move on from a completely healthy Cam Newton? Because Cam Newton hasn't been completely healthy since the MVP season. He's had two major shoulder injuries, which this year was about, can his arm stay healthy before the Liz Frank injury happened? Then he had the Liz Frank injury, and then, you know, then there was the concussion a couple of years back, so he's had these major injuries. And you start to wonder, is this just the toll of being a human wrecking ball for the first six, 7 years of his career? So for everybody wanting to, you know, jump to the end of the book and read the final chapter, read the final pages, I don't think Cam is officially done yet. But two things that are huge in this. One, Kyle Allen has to continue to win and show pretty considerate development, you know, considerable amount of development down the stretch. And then, you know, the other thing that has to happen, there has been an odd chill between Cam and the organization over this injury and how it's been handled, including but not limited to Ron Rivera saying the foot is fine after they lost week two, Cam's last game on the active roster, or sorry, as an active member of the team. And then like 2 days later, Cam came out with this blog saying I hit the injury for my team and from the coaches. So those two things are really the drivers here. You know, can the relationship be mended? And if not, can Kyle Allen play his way into a starting quarterback role? Fortunately for Kyle Allen, he's got 8 games left this season and whatever potential playoffs they might find themselves in too.
Moving forward, what about this defense? I mean, I think if you look at the Green Bay Packers last week, they ran into a buzzsaw with the Chargers. And I start looking up some numbers on this defense. They've been giving up a lot of rushing yards, but they can get to the quarterback.
Yeah, this is an interesting Panthers defense because they have not stopped the run hardly at all this year. I think they're 30th or 32nd in the NFL in rushing. And I mean, they've been bad. There's no way to cut it. I'll be honest with you. I think if Tennessee had gone more with Derrick Henry last week, I think that game would have been closer. For reasons unknown to any human being on earth, Mike Vrabel decided to stop running one of the better running backs in the NFL against one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. So that has been a problem. Now, on the plus side, James Bradberry has been a number one receiver this year. The guy, he's not quite Darrell Revis, but he is pretty darn good. Dante Jackson's been hit or miss. He's a guy that I think Aaron Rodgers will be able to pick on. But to help those two guys out, this defense just gets after opposing quarterbacks. They shut down Deshaun Watson for the Houston win in week four. They have, at points, outside of really the San Francisco game, they've just been, you know, it's not one guy in particular. It is a host of about 6 or 7 guys who just, they just get after the opposing quarterback. Now, if they can do that this weekend, I think it gives them a really good chance. If for whatever reason they have an off week, which they have had off weeks, the knock on this defense is not just running from my end. I don't think they've been consistently upper echelon. I think they have flashed a lot of really great things. I don't think they've put it all together. If they don't get to Aaron Rodgers at least 4 or 5 times this weekend, I think it's going to be a Green Bay win because we know what Aaron Rodgers can do with any bit of time, especially when he's looking at a guy like Dante Jackson, who I might be able to get one over on Dante Jackson. Please don't tell anyone here I said that.
He's at Nick Wilson, WFNZ on Twitter. My favorite part of here, he's host of Wilson and Parcell, 10 to 2 Eastern Time on WFNZ. But Gary, his Twitter profile is Father Large Human. Nick, you and I would get together and enjoy each other's company just fine myself. How good is Mario Addison, Nick?
Mario's actually, you know, he was the guy I doubted this year because Brian Burns was a guy who kind of fit the profile of an edge rusher in a 3-4 base. You know, Bruce Irvin had experience in both kind of situations, including, you know, the 43 base and the 34 base. Like, Marquise Haynes probably fit the 3-4 better. Mario wasn't necessarily a speed guy. That's not how I thought of him. And lo and behold, he's been the best edge rusher for them. He has been wonderful and really continued, not just continued. You know, the knock on Mario coming in was, well, this is a guy who's a great number two rusher. He's not your number one guy. You know, he's not Nick Bosa. You know, he's not Dwight Freeney. He's the guy next to him who gets some residual sacks. He was overall a good player. This year, there have been nothing residual about it. He's been fantastic. And, you know, it's a sad story. He just lost his younger brother about a week ago. He missed last week's game against Tennessee. He's got something to play for this week, and it wouldn't surprise me. You know, Mario, not only a great football player, just kind of a beloved guy here, It would not shock me if you see Mario Addison getting after Aaron Rodgers this week, because when that guy is on, he is really, especially within this defense and the way that they attack as a team, he's darn near unstoppable at points.
Nick, let me ask you about the head coach, because at some point, you know, he was on the hot seat, then they get to a Super Bowl, and then next thing you know, they're trying to rebuild again. You draft Christian McCaffrey, everything kind of turns around, you bring in North Turner, and then he goes for it on his own, like 34. Is that normal, the way he's been coaching this year, to kind of like go for it, or that was just a one-time situation?
Oh, if I knew what normal was for Ron Rivera. Ron is, it's so my barometer, guys, I grew up in Cleveland. I hosted in Cleveland for about 7 years before I got down to Charlotte here, where I've been now for about a year and a half. And so I've seen a lot of bad coaches. I can tell you Ron Rivera is not a bad coach. He absolutely drives me crazy, though. He is terrified about answering questions about Cam Newton's health. It bungles every answer he gives. In games, he'll go and do the most conservative things for like 3 or 4 weeks on end. And about once every 4 years, he pulls out a fake punt and people say, that's Riverboat Ron. He's a gambler. And it's like, all right, cool your jets. I think he's a good head coach. What's fascinating about Ron is, you know, they're 5-1 since Cam went down.
Right.
If they were 3-3, right now the tune would be talking about getting Ron out of here. One, Dave Tepper's a new owner, and there's just a growing sense that Dave Tepper's going to want his own guy who buys a little bit more into analytics, who likes that thing. That is not Ron. Ron is very sarcastic and not nasty, but definitely a little bit snarls a lip a little bit when you talk about analytics. So that's one part of it. And then, you know, it was Ron Rivera's decision to play Cam Newton in the preseason coming off a shoulder injury. It was Ron Rivera's decision to keep him in the game. And then, then we saw Cam get injured. But then it was Ron Rivera's decision the first 2 weeks of the season to play Cam Newton with a Liz Frank injury, which, if you want to look back at why the Panthers are in the eighth spot in the NFC, it's those first two games where you, me, and anybody else watching that game could tell Cam Newton had no business being out on the field because he couldn't plant to run. He couldn't plant to throw the football. So the weird juxtaposition of this season is you've got a team that could be a playoff team, and they have a winning formula here, which is they run the hell out of Christian McCaffrey. They have a defense that gets after the quarterback and generates turnovers. And then they've got a quarterback who, Kyle Allen, when he's good, just doesn't turn the ball over and makes 5 to 6 throws a game to beat you, like previous game manager quarterbacks who once upon a time, you know, grew into something else. So there is a formula here. But if they miss the playoffs, and it's because of those two games and that decision to play Cam Newton when everyone knew it was a bad move and bad for the Panthers and bad for Cam, it would not shock me entirely if a 10-6 team that misses the playoffs still somehow gets Ron Rivera fired.
Nick, one final thing, and we'll let you get going. Really appreciate the time and the insight. You brought up Dave Tepper, and he paid a lot of money to take over this team. What has the reception been like by the fan base, and what is the feeling after the ownership change that came with a lot of scrutiny after Richardson left?
Well, Jerry Richardson was a guy who some people revered here because he was big cat. He's the guy that brought football here. There were most other people that were leery of Jerry. Jerry was, you know, a little bit of a penny pincher. He wanted this to be a family business. He didn't, you know, analytics was some far-off foreign concept to him. Like, you know, and then, of course, there was how he treated his employees, which ended in court for some of them. So I think when Tepper came in, Tepper had the lowest bar in the world, which is you've got a first generation of football fans growing up here who only had this old, kind of boring guy who didn't really do anything, wasn't inspiring, and Tepper just came in and just surprised the hell out of everybody. Everybody's loved this guy. He's been so great in the community, and, you know, even at the end of last year, he was really close. I mean, he seemed really tempted to make moves with how last season went. And he came out, he's just been super honest about it. He's like, you know what, guys, I'm an emotional guy. the ownership part of this, it's been toughest for me, is to be a fan of a team and see it not go the right way. So Dave Tepper has, and this also helps, by the way, that Michael Jordan is the worst owner in all of sports.
He had to throw that in there, didn't he? He is. You know, I was just thinking about that today. He is, isn't he?
He's just, he wants to win. He's just god awful. And, you know, the other owner of the Hornets moved the team. So, like, Dave Tepper had, like, the lowest bar in the world, and he's been able to, like, hop, skip, and jump across it while smiling. He's been really good. This season's going to be a test, though. You know, after the San Francisco game, he was reportedly livid with how they got their butt spanked, in San Francisco. That was their first loss since the second week of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So it tells me there's some pent-up frustration with where this organization is. I am so gun-shy about new owners that I am naturally skeptical of them. But I got to say, the guy does seem to... He does seem to try and err on the side of caution. He does. He is a hothead, but he doesn't try to let that affect business. So, yeah, right now he's probably like the third most popular person related to the Panthers, which is about as high as you can get when Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey and Luke Kuechly are ahead of you.
Oh, my God.
Well, and Nick, I mean, you've really seen some winners there. If you tell us that you came from Cleveland, I mean, Dan Gilbert, goodness gracious. You get Jimmy Haslam into the mix there. But I don't remember any of them walking up to the coach and saying these guys are paid to play 82 games.
Man, I mean, there's so much with Michael that you could go through, because we actually, when I first got down here, I went through, like, what I've seen. I've seen Jimmy Haslam say to a guy one day, hey, you're my guy, and this, it's you and me forever. He fired him literally the next day.
Oh my goodness.
Dan Gilbert won a championship with a GM and said, you know what, I'm going to find somebody else. I'm not going to pay you that kind of money. Dan Gilbert basically said to the best player in franchise history and maybe NBA history, you know, man, this just isn't working out for me this second go-round with all these NBA finals runs.
All this money.
I think we're going to start doing this my way again. So, like, I've seen some stuff. Michael Jordan, I just kind of shake my head because I know, like, the difference is those other guys, their errors are really based in ego. Michael just wants to win, but he's the guy that can't commit to any plan for longer than 6 months if it doesn't lead to winning.
No.
And that just you add to that, and you add to that, I used to be Michael Jordan, and it has just been it's sad is what it is, because there's a fan base here with the Hornets that goes back multiple generations, because they came here originally in the 80s, and all they want is something to root for. All they want, give them a team with one great superstar and good players around them, and they would show up every single night. And instead, they gave him Kemba Walker and Nicky frickin' Batum at $25 million a year.
That's why he's one of the best, Nick. Appreciate it, man. What? This has been a lot of fun, dude.
Can Nick call you and talk about the Bucks?
Yeah, Nick, we got to have a conversation. I do the Bucks post-game show. We got to have a conversation when we get Charlotte Hornets against the Milwaukee Bucks this year, because it's been too much fun, man.
Oh, you got it, guys. Anytime. Thanks so much, buddy.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Nick. That's Nick Wilson, at Nick Wilson, WFNZ on Twitter, if you want to follow that. That is a guy that comes in with pulling no punches. That's what I love about him.
That's why you need to talk to him about the Bucks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.